Hey, Rockstar! Welcome to International Women's Day special episode. My name is Queen Rafi, and this is my podcast, Queen Rafi Space. And my guest for this International Women's Day special is Teresa Ojo, the CEO of Urban Crescent Interior, a furniture company that makes you pieces that are carefully created just for you. Teresa is passionate about creating high quality and sustainable furniture using carefully sourced materials. Teresa is such a superstar. On this episode, we spoke about the work that she does in the Nigerian furniture industry, how she even became a furniture manufacturer in the first place, the challenges that she's had to deal with in the business, and also the wins that she's gotten, and most importantly, how women at different stages in her life have been an influence to where she has found herself today. This is such an amazing episode, and you're going to enjoy listening to every single thing that Teresa has to say. So, listen in! I want to get to know Teresa before Urban Crescent happened, before furniture making happened. Where did you go to secondary school? Let's start from there.
I did about 3 secondary schools before I finished, the high school. But I graduated from Ojorube Grammar School, and that was in 2010. Yes. So before that, I used to be from the prestigious Christ Girls School. I think people that are familiar with Ekiti State, they know that.
That's interesting. So something else I wanted to talk about is that you detail having to come from a background of domestic abuse. Without going into details, or even if you want to go into details, can you detail what that was like? Was this abuse that was done to you, or was this abuse that you sort of had to witness?
Growing up, the options for women that I know were limited. Yes, I never knew women were supposed to have a voice or are supposed to be free growing up. You were just supposed to be a certain way, you know, be in a certain box, in a constructed box, and that is how you live your life. Why everybody knows Ekiti people to be, you know, well educated. As a woman, you have access to education, but when you're done, you're just expected to put your certificate probably in a box, or you're working at maybe a regular 9-to-5. And the most important thing from that moment on is your husband. Yeah. And yes, I have experienced domestic violence personally. It's such a hard topic to talk about. it was from a relationship that I had then. This person exposed me to the horrors of domestic violence, basically. It was something that I never knew was wrong. I used to think it was normal for women to be violated, you know, to be abused, until I left my state. You know, I came to Lagos for NYC, and then I realized it was wrong. I realized it was something that people speak against in this part of, you know, Nigeria. Where I was coming from, if your husband or your fiance or your man slaps you, it is perfectly normal. You're supposed to just apologize and say you're sorry for getting beat up. But here, when I got here, it was like, you know, women leave relationships because a man raised their voice, you know, in the wrong way. And I felt, okay, there is a certain air in this Lagos that women, you know, breathing that we don't have down there. And I knew I needed to escape. That is, you know, I really don't want to go too much because it's a topic I'm very sensitive about. But
I can get a picture and I can understand where you're coming from. To come from a background where you don't really see women aspiring to be so much more. Most times people don't know better, so they don't even aspire to be better. Leaving your space to a different space was what made you see better. So let's talk about that move, right? What did you read in school, and how did you end up in Lagos for NYSC? Are you part of those that walked it? Abi God just said, let's fling Teresa to Lagos.
Okay. So I studied English and Literary Studies. And when NYSC happened, I was thrown down to Yobe State, Potiskum. And, you know, at that point, because of the insecurities, there was mandated that everybody has to redeploy. And it was from camp in Yobe that I met those Lagos girls. They were talking about how women are supposed to be free, you know, are supposed to be bold and independent. And it was from those conversations that made me choose Lagos as my redeployment center. I was supposed to go back to Ekiti State, you know, redeploy back to Ekiti, get married, you know, because I already had my wedding plans being set up. But it was those girls, God bless these women. We no longer talk, but I would always remember these women. They made me choose Lagos State because I needed to come to where they are from. And that was what prompted me coming to Lagos. I did not know anybody. I had no family. As out of 2017, nobody in Lagos State. But I was determined. I said, no, I need to come to this Lagos. I need to know how these ladies, you know, how they are so bold. I mean, how can you break up with a man because he screamed at you? I mean, I'm getting beat up. And then I just needed to come here. I needed to experience it for myself. So that was what prompted the Lagos travel.
That is so interesting. You know, most times when we talk about like women and women conversation have been had, people are very quick to throw out this word where they say, oh, women are women's greatest enemies. I like that in your own story, is seeing other women be able to express themselves fully that made you say, you know what, I want to have this for myself. I like that that was the beginning of your story. So you come to Lagos, you studied English and Literary Studies. Right, you served at an office where they sold like wallpapers, and when people come for wallpapers, obviously they're probably trying to redecorate a house, just moving into a house, and they were just talking about their problems with furniture. My very first question for you is, even if people were talking about furniture, come on, people say you are a woman, what do you know about nails and, you know, plywood and planks? Why did that come to mind? Did you have any background at all in carpentry or furniture making that made you say, you know what, I want to fix this problem?
I've always known myself to be ambitious. I did not know anything. My family does not have any background in carpentry. I did not even know any carpenter growing up because we were a family of intellectuals. Now I'm in Lagos, I'm already working somewhere. And I would always hear these people tell me, can you imagine this person that I gave money to make furniture for me? This person did not do it well. Oh, I tried to import furniture and this is already 5 months. You know, I've been living in the house without a bed, without a sofa. And I like to think I'm a problem-solving individual. Initially, I didn't get into it for the money. I just wanted to help these people because I'm a people's person, and most of the customers we had then in the wallpaper store, I was able to strike, you know, a relationship with, you know, a cordial relationship. And whenever they make these complaints, I always wanted to help. And so the first person to believe in me was actually a woman too. And she just said, oh, I'm not going to pay you because I know you may not even do it properly, but take this money, go and make this three-seater for me. So I went out to these furniture companies around and then I told them what I needed. I bought the materials myself, you know, the wood, everything. And I sat with those guys until they delivered the right thing. To be honest, my first client ever is a woman. And that was what got me into it. You know, she loved it. And then she gave me more jobs. She told me, okay, you really tried, you know, make this dining chairs for me. Then make this bed for me. Then she started referring me to some other friends that she had. And that was how I started.
Wow, my God, that is really beautiful. Just seeing this, saying, you know what, I'm going to be able to fix this problem. So now let's talk about how long did you do this for in terms of like people referring you to say, oh, Teresa, help me fix up a three-seater, help me fix up one seater, before you now decided, okay, I think there's a business here. Let me structure this into Urban Crescent. When exactly did Urban Crescent start as a business fully for you?
As a business? Okay, so it was officially incorporated July 4th, 2019. But I started about 6 to 7 months before then. I didn't have a business name. I was just doing it. I didn't have an Instagram account, you know. It was just from, auntie, I heard that you want to make chair. Let me help you make it. Uncle, I know you want to make a bed. I don't want you to pay me, but let me see if I can help you make the right thing. So it started from me just helping them. It was more like helping them source for the right material and sitting with these manufacturers to make sure they get the right thing. And so the first time I decided to make it a paid venture was in, I think, June. And I felt, okay, I've been doing this thing for months. I mean, I need to get paid. And at that point, my boss, the owner of the wallpaper store, wanted to travel out and, you know, close down the business. And so it was now glaring that this thing I'm doing for free, I need to start earning money from it. Then I started it. I started from Instagram. I just opened the page. Then it was Urban Decor. Yes, I remember. And so in July, I decided to start incorporate it officially. And then I named it Urban Crescent Interior.
So far, I love your story because what I hear is, I want to do this thing, I do it. Like, you heard the story from the ladies in the camp in Yobe. You told yourself, I have to go to Lagos. You went to Lagos, even though you didn't know anybody there. You started this business. you told yourself, you know what, I don't have anything set up. At least let me have a page. Where do you think the can-do spirits that you have in you, where do you think that comes from? Where do you think that strength from you comes from? To just look at something and say, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and do this.
It's my mother. She's my biggest inspiration. She's the strongest woman. I'm not going to say, okay, that is me being biased now. It's okay to be biased because it's my mom. I mean, I've met other strong women, but she's the biggest source of inspiration I've known. I've seen her, growing up, she mentored me and my siblings. She was strong for us every day. I've seen her take something out of nothing, from little earnings. She was able to build a house, build a second house, pay her school fees, feed us, clothe us. Despite what was happening around her, she's my biggest source of inspiration because I know that no matter how hard it is, if you set your mind to it, you're going to be out of that tunnel and you're going to see the light and it's going to be very bright. So my mom is the biggest, biggest inspiration every day, every day. I mean, over the years now, yes, I've met other women that are amazing women, from even the ones I currently mentor, but my mom is currently tops it up. She really tops it.
Now, shout out to mothers that always give us the inspiration, even when they don't know. I know the interesting thing about mothers is they don't even know that they are giving you this inspiration by just living their lives. They don't know how
much they're just living.
Yep. They don't know how much they're impacting on yours. And I'm really happy that you spoke about how your mom's strength is what has given you the strength to drive on and you're becoming an inspiration to other women. Now, let's talk about the elephant in the room. You are a woman in furniture business having to deal with artisan. Let me tell you, this is so funny that we're having this episode right now. Because my carpenter is owing me for bed frame. So it's so interesting that we're having this conversation. So how do you navigate being in this male-dominated industry, having to deal with local artisans who are also mostly male? How do you do that?
One thing I have learned is to work with my strengths. Now, the first thing most men would think about a female manufacturer is, maybe she's doing it as a hobby. Or maybe it's even a man that owns the business, she's just fronting. And then you have to work twice as hard to gain the respect and recognition. So now what I do is, instead of working hard to gain your recognition, I nurture you. That is the strength of a woman. Women are nurturers. Now, I would nurture you as a woman, and in return, you would respect and do what I need you to do as my artisan. And now I no longer focus on you because the respect will come naturally if you're being nurtured. I just focus on my strength as a woman. I nurture, and then every other thing falls in line. At the moment, I currently have a staff strength of about 14, and about, eight of them are men. I don't think I have issues with them. And then at the moment, the other thing I do is I try to, to level up the playing field. I'm grooming women to take up managerial posts in my company. I'm grooming women to be carpenters and upholsterers because it is too male dominated. Furniture manufacturing, let's leave the fact that I own the company. I would love to see women, in artistry, to be an artisan, to be a carpenter, to be an upholsterer, because they actually earn good money. So if we can level the playing field, then, that industry would be better because, women are more attentive to detail. They have smaller hands, which means they can be better furniture manufacturers. Now, that is the current project I'm working on. Women need to be at least 50% of my manufacturing force. They're already in the other departments. They're in sales, they're in customer service, they're in management. But in the main thing, which is the factory, I would love women to be at least 50% of the workforce there. And so I nurture them, and I'm hoping with the nurturing, they grow and then they give me what I deserve.
That is such a different angle. I don't think I've ever heard anybody say, you know, I focus on my strength as a nurturer and I nurture. Because the thing, the initial reaction as a woman when you're doing something and people want to put you down is you get angry, and rightfully so, right? Yeah. You get angry, you want to react from that anger, you want to react. And I think that kind of easily just gives them what they want. And hey, we talk, come see woman now, she don't begin to shout.
Yes.
So I like that.
Yes.
I like that you have looked at it to say, I'm not going to let you put me among that stereotype. I'm going to do it differently. That when I, you know, come from that natural angle, you would be able to give me what I want. I really like that you said that. One particular word keeps jumping at me as I read through what you do with Urban Crescent is you talk about environmental, safe or sustainable and ethical pieces. Maybe I'm not pronouncing the right keywords, but I'm hoping that you understand what I'm saying. So yes, let me understand why that is important for you in running Urban Crescent, why you want to do pieces that are safe for our environment.
There is a culture that we need to imbibe, which is the culture of preservation. Already as a furniture manufacturer, we use most of the things we do, we use trees. And, you know, the average manufacturer in Nigeria just cuts and cuts and cuts and cuts. Because before you cut, it was somebody that planted that tree. Now, when you cut that tree, you need to plant one or two more to replace what you've cut off. That way, the next generation can see something. The environment can continue to thrive. You know, forestry needs to thrive in Nigeria. It's a personal thing that I do. That for every purchase we make, we have to plant at least a tree in return. For every tree that we buy, we have to plant at least a tree. I think last year we gave out about 1,000 cedar seedlings to farmers, the people that will buy, you know, this wood from, just for them to encourage them in the act of reforestation. And responsible production is something that I am very keen about, especially with the environment. We don't dispose of waste in certain irresponsible ways. And what we do is, to, if we have to give it out to people that would need this sort of waste, if it can be repurposed into something else, sure, why not? For instance, so some of the waste we have, like the sawdust, like foam clippings, we have some companies that come to take them off our hands. Instead of burning and introducing carbon emissions into the atmosphere, we just give it to them. Come take sawdust for free. Come take, you know, foam clippings for free. You can use it for production of whatever it is you want to use it for. And it has been helping us so far.
I like how you've done that. I like when people think ahead. And I think that's the beauty of how your mind works, Teresa. It's like, you know, this business this business is inherently sort of affecting the environment in some way. And then you think ahead, okay, if this is the problem, if I want to stay in this business and I want to continue to do this, how can I make sure that continues? Because imagine if everybody, every furniture maker out there is just cutting down the trees. So someday there will not be trees to cut down anymore.
There won't be trees.
Exactly. So I love that you've incorporated that aspect. Was that something you started to do immediately, set it up the business, or did it take a bit of time for you to, you know, get to that phase?
To be honest, I did not start it immediately. I think it happened in 2021 when there was wood scarcity, and it took me months to get wood, and I was wondering why. I think I said, okay, it's because we keep cutting down, we're not preserving, we're not rebuilding things, we're not putting it back there. If you take from nature, you have to give it back, otherwise nature would no longer be there for you to take it from. And so that was when we started the initiative. Okay, when we buy wood from those people, we're going to save the money, and then when we can buy up to 500 pieces seedlings, we give it back to them. We make sure they also plant it. And to be honest, these farmers, they really appreciate it. The truth is, even though they are not educated, they are the number one advocate for reforestation. And so what we just do now is we just promote it with them and we encourage them to do it further.
That's really nice. I love that, you know, something happened and it got you to think about the environment. I really like that. Thank you so much for sharing that with me. Yes. And I like how honest you are about it, because somebody else would have just said, yes, as I started, that's when I thought about it. But I like how honest you are about the process. I know you've had a lot of wins when it comes to the business. You were able to open up your experience center in 2021. You also spoke about having to, you know, move from using, relying on the fuel generator to LPG, clean gas in 2023 because of the high cost in prices of the fuel.
Yeah. Yes.
I want to focus on the wins that have been personal for you. What is one win that you know that is a personal win, but it came because of Urban Crescent. Share that with me.
A personal win I have is there is this joy I have when I see people win, especially the women. And I have two ladies I'm currently mentoring. And these are women that hold so much promise. And it's a personal win for me. Because from the time that I met these young ladies, see now, their success rate has been tremendous. Really tremendous. And it's been impressive. These are ladies that they were actually high school dropouts. And I've been able to mentor them to the extent of them graduating and writing their WAHEC. Currently, I'm sponsoring their education in the university. And not just that, I'm teaching them that they can be a boss regardless of the gender. Yes, these women now, they are confident. They can hold their head high. I love what they do at the moment. One of them works for me, the other doesn't, which is completely fine. I'm just interested and I'm invested in their progress. But I'm so happy that they can walk into any room, they can hold a conversation with anybody, and they can make an impact too. So that is a personal win for me. Honestly, that is a personal win. And one of the win is being able to, you know, like I said, overcome where I'm coming from, and to also show the men where I'm coming from, that women are meant to be greater things. Women are meant to be just beyond that social construct that I was used to. So it's a personal win for me.
I love what you said about women are meant to be greater things. Yes, we are meant to be greater things. I like that. And I love you talking about mentorship, because, you know, one thing that we have as women is, see, the boys have their boys club. We need to also...
Yes, they do.
Yes, they
we
have
need their girls club.
Exactly. Yeah. And I'm not even going to lie. I think that the women community, if you have a forward-thinking women community, there is no stronger backbone that you can have than that. There is absolutely no choice. Whether it's a group of friends that believe in you, whether it's a particular community based on the work that you do or whatever, like you would never have a stronger community than that. So I love that you are passing it on and showing these other young ladies, you know, that see, you can do it as well. If I was able to do it, you can do it. And I'm showing you the ropes, holding your hands to be able to show you that. I really like that. And I love that you see it as a personal win. Because a lot of times people think that when they are helping other people is more so for those people, but it's also more so for you, because it's like planting a seed, you know? When you see it grow, you're excited. So that is really
It's so fulfilling. It's so fulfilling when you meet someone and then you've seen their growth. They are still growing.
Exactly.
I am praying they are bigger and better. But at the moment, I am impressed with what they've achieved so far. Really impressed.
Let's talk about something that I wanted to talk about, right? We've spoken about it being a male-dominated industry. But do you also have other women in the furniture business that you look up to and you're like, ah, you know, this person inspires me to do more, just like you're inspiring other young women? Do you have any woman in the Nigerian furniture-making industry?
Oh, yes, I do. There is a woman I totally respect. Is it okay to drop names?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
her name is Munira Shonibare. She owns... IO Furniture Limited. I love what she's done with the brand. I would tell you for a fact that if you're going to mention 10 furniture companies in Africa, I'm not even saying Nigeria now, top 10 furniture companies in Africa, Munira Shonibare's company is one of them. This is a woman that you need to see this woman's factory. You need to see what she's done with the company. And she's way older, but she's someone I aspire to be and more. I love, love, love what she's doing. And yes, there's one other woman. Her name is Joy Shitu, if I'm correct. I recently took a mentorship program from her. And she's very impressive as well. Very, very impressive.
That's amazing. Thank you so much for sharing. I'm going to definitely look up those women because we need inspiration in life. But I also wanted to ask you about resources, because this was a business that you were entering into without even knowing anything about it, like prior. Apart from the people who supported you along the way, what resources did you get into? Were there classes that you had to take? Was there any time you need to do maybe some courses to just, you know, gain a better insight as to how to do the business?
You know, like I said, I didn't have any background. I'll keep saying that. But then I had to go online. I had to learn some project management, you know, courses. I had to Also, you know, when I was going to all these manufacturing companies, I really put my eyes down. I needed to see what they were doing. And from that, I learned a lot. First, I learned some of the mistakes that they were already making, and I learned how to improve that myself. And when it comes to financial resources, the first person to give me money ever for my business is my mother. She just believed in me. And then my brother. And God bless these two people for me. Because it got to a time, you know, when you get to a time in business, people want to see that you're, you know, somewhat structured. They want to know where you are at, which is, you know, probably a small office, just so that in case there is a problem, they can come and look for you there. I didn't have the money. And at that time, I couldn't get a loan because I was just starting. My mom and my brother gave me school fees. It took a gamble. He just said, my sister, take this money. My mom gave me all the money she needed to use for something elsewise. And then she just said, I believe you can use this money for something good. It is not a loan. I'm just giving it to you. And I put this money together, and that was what got me my first office. And from there, gradually, I was able to continue to save up to get, you know, the showroom, then the factory, and so on and so forth.
Wow. I like that you even included financial resources, because I didn't even think about that.
That's amazing. Oh, that is very important.
I love that you talk about how your family believing in you. Like, the strength of family cannot be overemphasized. If you have a supportive family in life, you've won. So now I want to talk about challenges in your business. But I know, like, challenges in this kind of business will include having to deal with the local artisans, having to, you know, deal with the fluctuating currency that Nigeria has. I know all of that. Is there a unique problem that you face right now that you wish could just be solved in, like, tomorrow when it comes to, you know, having to deal in the Nigerian furniture industry?
I think this problem is currently unique to me. It may not be, but at the moment, I realize that probably at the rate at which we're growing, expansion is needed. Currently, our production facility can take about 50 to 70 orders a month. But my unique problem now is expansion. Now we're beginning to get so much orders from, you know, B2B, B2C customers, and we now need to expand to at least a space of at least 2,000 square meter. And that is a big problem. And now you said something about the quality of the artisanry. That would forever be a problem in Nigeria as of now. I'm hoping it's not going to be the next 5 to 10 years, but I like to see problems as things that you need to create a solution for. While I already have solutions for that, you remember I said something about me nurturing, and that also includes constantly teaching these people on how to be better at their work. I do periodic trainings to make sure that they are up to industry standards. Yeah. And yes, you know, there are other unique problems like the electricity, well, which is not so unique because I think everybody has that problem at the moment, the inflation. But I'm hoping that Nigeria is better soon and we can all rise above this issue.
Wow. I mean, the electricity problem will continue to be unique in Nigeria because, as far as I'm concerned, it defies logic. And running a business, I can only imagine how much more profit you'd be making if you didn't have to think about electricity.
My good God, I would probably have a Lamborghini gas by now.
You know, I mean, something interesting that I saw. So I realized that you're a member of Forbes Black community. Why was it important for you to be a member of the community, and what has that done for you so far?
Okay, I like to set my eyes beyond my current environment. Urban Crescent should not just be a Nigerian brand. My goal is to make it a brand that transcends, you know, beyond the shores of Nigeria, you know, beyond the shores of Africa, something that is known internationally. And Forbes Black is a community that is helping me to achieve that dream and to achieve that goal at the moment. It's a very close-knitted community. It's an exclusive community where you get to meet with other members of, you know, Forbes Black members from other parts of the world. And together, you people come together, foster a good relationship that would help you grow business and personal-wise.
I like that you're thinking ahead, because to be a global brand, obviously, you have to be in a community with other global world makers and culture shapers. So, yeah, I see how the Forbes Black community is something that you needed to be a part of. And it is right at the top of my tongue, but I don't want to do it. But I can assume that you're very young because you did say that you finished secondary school in 2010.
Yes.
So I can tell that you're quite young, you know, and to be able to do all of that as a young woman in Nigeria, build a business, not just a business, build a business in a male-dominated field, so much so that you have achieved what you've achieved. You have people who are, you know, currently under your payroll. It's not a small feat. It's not a small feat at
all.
So congratulations.
You know, to be honest, thank you. People believe I'm older. They think I'm in my 30s because of what we've achieved at Urban Crescent. And I just let them assume. But when I tell them, oh, I'm in my 20s, they'll be like, what? It's a lie. I've already told you. Why do you have to say I'm lying? So I allow them to assume I'm in my 30s. I think maybe there is this misconception that for you to get certain things, you have to be certain age, which is really not true because I don't think it is true. I've seen women that are my age that are really doing good stuff too.
Yeah, and that's what I wanted to ask. Like, have you had a situation where because of your age, people have looked at you and said, I beg, I'm not sure this person is going to be serious with this, you know, with this business. Have you had any encounter like that or most times doesn't come up?
No, it has never because I have never been disrespected whenever I walk into a room because I do not leave room for that. I respect everybody and in return, it is reciprocated. But I have never had to go through that. Question of age only comes up when they find out I'm younger than what they were assuming. And then it's just like a form of surprise and wonder, like, oh, wow. Oh, you're actually this age. Oh, wow. Basically. But I've never had any issues regarding my age.
Oh, okay. All right. Now, that's really cool. I like that. You know, it's a situation where people see your professionalism and they can't even question the age anymore. It's like, okay, what is the debate on the age when you've seen how good of a job that she's able to do? So let's
exactly.
I want to just slightly talk about Urban Crescent slightly because I know I've made the interview about you, rightfully so, because I'm definitely celebrating you for the International Women's Day on my podcast. But I want to order from Urban Crescent. What do I do?
The order process is very simple. We've made it really seamless. And we have the website first. If you want to order online, you can come to the website or you can come to our WhatsApp or our Instagram via DM. And we have, you know, the option for you to visit the experience center. And now what we've tried to do is try to make, because, you know, Urban Crescent makes custom furniture. We're giving you so many options to choose from as a client. At the moment, we have over 2,000 fabric samples. Over 2,000. So what we try to do is we also digitalize these samples and we don't limit it to just when you come around. So if you order online, you still have the options of going through all the samples and picking the one you want. And if you come, you also have the option of filling these samples, you know, physically. And so the order process is very seamless. We have customer service people that are well equipped to handle any form of inquiries. And then they will assist your inquiries from the request to the purchase and then, you know, to the delivery.
And I think this leads me to my question. I think I already know the answer, but I still want to hear it from you. What differentiates Urban Crescent interior, the furniture that you do, the pieces that you make from every other furniture that is out there?
Thank you for that question. I think it's the customization. And now for every piece we make, we make sure there is a piece of you in that piece. We have a sofa called the Olesen sofa. If we have 30 orders of Olesen sofa in a month, these 30 sofas are different because of the customers that are ordering. So if customer A comes, we customize according to your lifestyle, your way of life, your preferences, everything. Customer A can tell us, oh, I have a back problem. I need you to create Olesen to fit my health concerns. Or this person can say, oh, I'm 6 feet tall. Most sofas that I see are this. We would craft these pieces according to your preferences, your lifestyle, and your taste. So that is what makes us different. And the fact that we're responsible for everything we put out, from communications to the product itself, we are responsible for it. We stand by what we put out.
So basically, you're saying that as a customer, your satisfaction is the most important thing when it comes to Urban.
Yes.
I like that.
Yes. Furniture is a sentimental purchase. That is what people don't know. Maybe subconsciously they might know that. You know, when you want to buy furniture, it's not just like when you want to buy a piece of clothing. Furniture is like a solution to a problem. It's not just the sitting. It is this person asking us if it is stain-proof. This other person asking us if this sofa can work well because I work from home and I want a sofa that is comfortable enough, you know, to carry my laptop and stuff like that. So, you know, all these sentiments is what we hear. We listen and then we give you the solutions to them using our sofas and any other thing you're purchasing from the company.
The way you talk about the furniture that you make is so clear that your passion for this thing is 100. And I think that's why the customers who come to Urban Crescent get that. And I think one beautiful thing you've been able to do is sort of translate that into your staff as well. Like, you've allowed them to buy into the vision of what you see how you feel and how you want the customer to feel. So that is such a beautiful thing, honestly. And I really like that. One thing I wanted to say at the end of this episode, since we're coming to the end right now, is yes, Teresa is a CEO. She's a boss. She's planting seeds. She's, you know, she loves the environment. She does all of these things. But all work and no play can make Teresa very cranky. What do you do for fun? What do you do to relax? Please don't tell me you're researching furniture designs.
To be honest, I take pleasure in, you know, simple things of life, such as driving around, seeing a movie, and I love food. The way to my heart is true food. I do some charity. There is a charity organization where I go to an orphanage. I go every weekend just to, you know, chill with these kids. They are amazing people. These kids are amazing people. So whenever I feel I need to connect, I just go there. I sit with them. You know, we talk, we gist, we do some sort of work, and then that's it. I really enjoy simple things.
I like that. So before you go, I feel like having you here, furniture expert, it would not be nice if I let you go without at least squeezing in some tips from you. You know, when I'm getting a furniture from Urban Crescent or not, what is the three things that as a customer I should look out for when I want to get furniture for myself? What are those three things that you know I should put in mind? Because most many of us just what do you think we should really be considering when we're getting furniture?
Okay, so number one is never compromise on quality. I understand the need to save. When I said furniture is sentimental, furniture is going to be with you forever, for as long as you have it. And it really would be sad if you're stuck with a furniture that you have complaints about. And while in the process of trying to save, you're missing out on more quality life and comfort. And so my first thing is, do not compromise on quality, because if you're able to get what you want, that piece would maybe give you a better life in every sense of the word. Because let's use a sofa for an instance. If you come home to a comfortable sofa, you would always long for it, because from the gate you would feel, oh my God, I can't wait to sit in my sofa. But if you compromise on quality, it's the same thing as sitting on the floor. And then the second thing is to go to a company that is responsible. If you patronize a furniture brand that is responsible for what it says and what they put out, you need to look for a company that offers warranty and would stick by the warranty that they offered you. And please try to avoid companies that promises you too much. People that would tell you yes, yes, yes to every of your needs. That is a big red flag, because every furniture company is unique. If you notice that Urban Crescent does not do cabinetry works, we're strictly an upholstery finishing company. It would be wrong for us to tell you that, yes, we can do your kitchen cabinet when we don't do it because we just want your money. So please be careful of a company that tells you, yes, we can do everything. Really, there's no furniture company that can do everything. Once they tell you that, please run. They're just looking for your money. They're not invested in the finished product and in your satisfaction as a client.
Thank you so much. I wish I had this in mind before I ordered my bed frame, but you know, it is what it is. Thank you so much for the tips that you've shared. It's International Women's Day. I think the theme for this year is Inspire Inclusion. And I don't know what else screams inclusion more than me speaking to you, who is in a male-dominated field, having to thrive in the way that you're thriving. So I want to squeeze out one last I want to squeeze out one last advice from you for women who are looking to go into places where quote unquote are not traditionally designed for women, an industry that is male dominated. From your own experience and how you've been able to thrive, what is one advice that you want them to have? I know women like that will probably get tons and tons of advice, but you have walked the work. So I feel like you have practical advice to give. What's that advice?
My advice is really simple. Just do it and the world will adjust, really. In time, the world will adjust. Just go into it and try, make sure you are excellent, because excellence knows no gender. But do it, the world will adjust. That is just my mantra. The world will adjust. When you walk into that boardroom as a woman, as long as you are excellent, the world will adjust. The world will accommodate your seat for you.
You have given me so many gems on this podcast, I can't count. Excellence knows no gender. I love that.
No.
Thank you so much. It's been such an honor, a privilege to speak to you.
The honor is mine. Thank you. You have an amazing host.
Thank you for everything that you do. I am deeply, deeply inspired by you. I can't wait to really say, oh yeah, I know Urban Crescent, you know, like, yeah, I did talk to this
I'm honored to be on your podcast, by the way. It's an amazing podcast.
Thank you so much. I'm really glad that I spoke to you, and it's so beautiful hearing you talk about your passion, to talk about the business, and to just talk about all of the things that you've been able to achieve. And I do hope that you continue to, you know, get so many more accolades, and most importantly, that the vision that you have for the brand becoming a global one definitely comes to life. Thank you so much for being a guest here.
Thank you so much, Rafi. Yes, my pleasure.
I am very sure that you definitely enjoyed listening to Teresa. She dropped so many gems, and the one that sticks out for me is when she says, excellence has no gender. I 100% agree. It is International Women's Day. The theme for this year is Inspire Inclusion. And I want to tell you that as a woman, take up space wherever it is that you are. Just like Teresa said, the world will adjust. Happy International Women's Day, and thanks for listening.